Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you are. And welcome to another JavaScript webinar session here on Channel 9. So today we're going to cover how you can deploy your Node.js applications on Azure. So what are we going to look at today? So first I'm going to give you a quick introduction into Microsoft Azure. So what is it? What are kind of the different components, and how does it relate to what we're going to talk about today, namely Node.js applications, web applications. And then specifically, when it comes to deploying your Node.js application to Azure, we're going to look into the two main deployment options that exist in Azure for deploying your Node.js application. First one, we'll be looking at virtual machines, and second large topic, really the biggest part of this session is all going to be about the Azure App Service, and I'll talk a bit more in detail on what each of these is. So as usual, if you have any questions during the session or afterwards, feel free to reach out to us on Twitter using the AskMSDev hashtag. And with that, let's start with this session. So Microsoft Azure. So what is Microsoft Azure? You may have heard about cloud computing, and Microsoft Azure is basically Microsoft's cloud computing platform. So you may wonder, all this fuss about cloud computing over the last months and years, why do people want to use the cloud instead of just having your own server somewhere sitting either in your data center or having some server sitting at a hoster? Basically, with clouds and why people go to the cloud and use the cloud is mainly for three big reasons. The first one is relates to the speed, not necessarily the speed of your application, but rather the agility, the speed with which you can deploy your applications onto computing resources, have your application live for your customers or for your users to use. So that could be for a new application, but could just as well be adding new functionality to an existing application. So with cloud, you can spin up computing resources basically in a matter of minutes. You'll have either virtual machines available to you or other services available to you, whether it's data services, etc. So it's really about agility in bringing your applications, your solutions live to your users. And a second one, and this is kind of the one that cloud is most mostly known for. It's all about scalability, having like almost unlimited computing resources available to you is kind of the big reason why people tend to choose for cloud computing. If you look at, for example, one of our data centers, there's literally hundreds of thousands of servers sitting in a single data center, and that's just a single data center. And then we'll look at how many data centers or data center regions that exist in Azure. But basically, those resources are available for you to use at any time. So you decide whether you want additional resources, but just also the opposite. If you have like an application that is not having a lot of load at a specific moment in time, you could really scale down the resources that you use. And this kind of boils down to, or comes back to then the third kind of reason why people are using cloud. It's all about economics. So being able to quickly scale up and scale down, and then specifically scale down your resources that you need according to the load that you have on your application really gives you an advantage of saving you money. So not having to buy a server or 10 servers and having them sitting there, maybe when there is no users on your platform. So with cloud, you can tune basically your cost. You're basically paying for whatever you're using at a given moment in time. So this really adds to kind of the advantages of cloud computing. Now, looking specifically at Azure. So here you see kind of a global map, and you can actually see that Azure is basically what we call hyperscale, or is basically on global scale computing platform. So you see each of these blue circles here on the map represents Azure regions. So those are basically data centers that you can deploy your applications and your services in. So you can see there's a number of them in Europe. There's a whole lot in the Americas, both North and South America, and also Asia and Australia are covered with presence. What's maybe noteworthy is if you have business somewhere in mainland China, there's also some data centers available there to you as well inside of China. So you basically have control where you want to deploy your resources. So you have also pretty much unlimited scale when it comes to the region or the location where you deploy your application. So you can deploy where basically your users, your customers are. Now, looking specifically at Azure and the different components that are sitting in there, so from a high level, kind of the core basis of Microsoft Azure is the cloud infrastructure. So kind of the base computing components that you can build your applications on. And the most typical one there, as you can see here, is in the compute section, is virtual machines. Pretty much everybody is familiar with virtual machines by running them locally, either on your laptop using any virtualization technology, whether it's Hyper-V or others, VirtualBox, for example. Virtual machines are basically a way for spinning up like a machine without having to have a physical hardware sitting there. Basically, in our cloud platform, Azure supports kind of virtual machines which are sitting on a large storage system that you can use as well for your applications. Let's say you have a web application that stores a lot of images or media files. Well, you could offload those images and media files on that storage system to offload your web server. Of course, there's a whole bunch of networking components as well. Networking components that allow you also not just to deploy your applications in the cloud, but also being able to bridge to resources that are sitting in your local environment. So you can imagine having a web application sitting in a cloud somewhere in an Azure data center, which will then securely bridge into some backend server that is sitting in a local data center, or at a hoster. So the power of cloud basically gives you also the option to kind of make bridges to on-premises components as well. So don't think of cloud as just being I need to move everything to the cloud, but know that you have a choice. You can do a phased approach as well, or have a mixed environment. So you have this base cloud infrastructure on top of which we'll be building our applications. And then, of course, there's more specialized services where you could see the top one, the developer's application platform. We'll look into that in the second half of this presentation, when we're going to look at the app service. And then there's more specialized services like data services, where you need a relational database, such as MongoDB or MySQL or a SQL Server or Oracle databases or NoSQL databases, and so on and so on. Or you want to do some big data analysis, some Hadoop servers. So there's dedicated specific services for that as well inside of this cloud computing platform. And then also for Internet of Things, there's a whole bunch of services that are available to you. Now, moving forward, so first we're going to look at how can we deploy our Node.js application. The most common way, as you may know already from either on your developer laptop or in a current data center environment, is that you just spin up a virtual machine and you deploy your application in there. And you could do the exact same thing in Microsoft Azure. And the nice thing is that Azure provides you a whole range of operating systems, or whether it's Microsoft's own Windows Server operating system, but just as well, we provide you with a whole range of Linux distributions, whether it's SUSE, Ubuntu, Oracle Linux, and so on and so on. You can see the list here, and you can spin up basically that virtual machine in a matter of minutes. So it literally takes, and we'll do the demo, just 4 to 5 minutes just to spin up a VM for you. And you'd basically decide how many instances you want, and also how big you want those instances to be. That you need some, for some application, you need a lot of CPU. And maybe for another application, which is more memory bound, you'll need less CPU, but more memory attached to that virtual machine. So all of those you can decide upon, and you can even change it as your application changes. As you go through specific loads, maybe you want to tune, you want to scale up your virtual machine as well, or scale it down. So those kind of advantages give you, like, create it when you need it, and just choose, pick and choose the resources that you need at any moment in time. So as mentioned, you can scale up. So there's a whole range of, and we give them letters, our virtual machine sizes. So we have the A series, D series, which have SSD storage attached to them. So you have the G series, which are kind of the biggest machines, where you have very fast CPUs and a lot of memory. And then there's some the V2 range of the D series, which are even faster, which have faster CPUs than the D series, but still have SSDs attached to them. And we've recently announced also the N series, which have which are more geared towards scenarios where you need a GPU included in your virtual machine. So those N series will give you a GPU-enabled virtual machine. So if you're doing a lot of media processing or streaming, maybe those N series machines will be useful for you. So a lot of machines, and you'll see that you can just pick and choose them as we go through, as you create your virtual machine or as you change your virtual machine afterwards. So let's start off with our first demo. So we're going to be doing a lot of demos in this session. First demo is going to be looking at how do we create such a virtual machine. And for this specific example, we'll be spinning up a Linux virtual machine and look at how we can run our Node application on there. So let me switch to my demo here. So first thing you'll see here is I've got my browser open. And what you see here is basically Azure Management Portal. So you can just go to portal.azure.com, and this will basically allow you to log into your Azure environment. So as it spins up, let me switch to this one while this one is loading. You're presented with kind of a dashboard. So we see this Azure Management Portal basically as your working instrument, where you could basically see this, the current status of what is happening with your resources, what you have right now. And this dashboard interface really gives you a way to kind of customize also, because you can customize this dashboard. You can just go here and edit dashboard. And that will allow you to kind of just, and you can even create new dashboards to pin new information in there. So let's say you have a web application. Well, you can pin some graphs on this dashboard. So you can, at a glance, just logging into your portal, see how many requests are coming in, what is my CPU load on my web server, and so on and so on. So you can really customize the screen towards your needs. So this is your main instrument, your launching pad of for your Azure environment. On the left-hand side, you'll see kind of your favorite services that you may have. Here you see a subset. If you click on Browse, what you see is basically the full list of services that are available in Azure. And as you can see, it's you can see the scroll bar here. The list is quite extensive. So it ranges from Azure virtual machines, so compute resources. You can see event hubs that are being used in IoT scenarios. You can see here some machine learning, which may be interesting for doing big data analysis scenarios. You have mobile applications and so on and so on. So you have MySQL databases. So really a lot of resources available to you, which you can browse to look at what you already have in your environment. So quite an intuitive interface here. And how do we create now a virtual machine? So for that, we have our new interface here. One thing to mention, you may wonder, well, do I have to do all of my operations using this web interface? What if I'm used to using command line for creating my Azure resources, for working with my infrastructure? So all of the things you see here in this this graphical user interface, in this browser-based user interface, is available also either if you're a Windows user. You could use PowerShell, so you have PowerShell commandlets, but just as well we have a cross-platform command line interface. So you can just go and install the Azure CLI, so command line interface, and it's actually based on Node.js to make it cross-platform, so you can just do an npm install of Azure's -CLI and it will install the Azure command line interfaces on your machine, and then you could use the command line just for spinning up virtual machines, looking at virtual machines, spinning up other resources, and so on and so on. So you're not locked into using a graphical user interface. You could use your command line. You could even use a REST-based interface. So we have a management API, which is REST-based. So if you want to integrate it inside of your inside of an existing management application, you could do so as well. So really an open platform. So we were going to look at spinning up a virtual machine, so a Linux virtual machine. So you can see here, if we do new and then go to virtual machines, what you'll see here is a number of featured virtual machine templates. So of course we have Windows Server here, but just as well you could see here our Ubuntu Server image. Those are kind of empty virtual machines, pretty much. They're just operating system, and that's pretty much it. But next to that, we also have like virtual machine templates which already contain applications. So for example, here we have a SQL Server 2014 Enterprise Edition sitting on a Windows Server machine, or a SharePoint farm, or here we have an Oracle database, and so on and so on. So there's more. We have a full gallery, a full marketplace of virtual machine templates, either provided by Microsoft, but just as well virtual machines that are provided by third-party providers, by ISVs. For this specific scenario, what we're going to look at, we want to have some a mean stack. Let's see, check for mean. We have a provider which is called Bitnami, which provides us with virtual machine images, Linux virtual machine images. And here we have the full mean stack because we're deploying a Node.js application. Let's start off with a virtual machine that already contains the software that we need. So this one contains Node.js, Git, PHP, Express Angular, some MongoDB. It's all sitting already on this machine. Because yes, you can create a virtual machine, you need to maintain it as well. So you need to install the software, you need to update and patch it as well. So you are the root of the virtual machine, the admin. That also means you need to maintain it. We make sure as an Azure platform that your VM is running, but you need to take care of all the internals of the virtual machine as well. So let's just click the create button. We need to provide some information, of course, some details about our virtual machine to be created. So first, some basic settings. So we need to provide, of course, a name for our virtual machine. So let's, whoops, seem to have pressed a shortcut here. Let me quickly navigate to this one again. Didn't have the focus. There we go, mean. We create our virtual machine. Need to provide some information, so our basic settings. So we need to give it a name. We need to, of course, have a username for our root user on our virtual machine. So let's call it empty from my name, and let's call it node on Azure. Give it a name. We need to give a password. You could just as well also choose an SSH public key. There we go. Resource group is kind of a logical container, so let's also give it the same name so we can easily find it back. And then you can specify where you want to deploy. So the location is, we saw all of those data center regions. Well, we could choose where we want to deploy our application. And let's, for the sake of this demo, we can keep it in Western US. Just click OK. So these are kind of the basic settings for our virtual machine. So next step, well, we need to decide what does our virtual machine look like. So what is the size of the virtual machine? So we had all of these different series, so A, D series, G series, and so on. So here we get presented with some recommended virtual machines, so A1, A2, A3. You could see all of the specs. But if you click on View All, you'll have the full list, kind of the Chinese menu of virtual machine sizes that exist in Azure. And so you'll see that it's, again, quite an extensive list that you can choose from. And you have an indication of the monthly price for each of those machines. So let's choose, for example, this DS1. Select this one. Selected our size. There's a number of additional configuration settings. So we can specify our storage settings. So where are we going to store the operating system disks, some data disks? We can add disks to our virtual machine. In terms of virtual network, we want a hybrid network. So do we want to connect our virtual machine to on-premise resources? For example, let's connect it to a print server that is sitting locally. We can define subnets. We can specify a public IP address, a fixed IP address, and so on and so on. So there's a whole lot of functionalities and configuration settings that we can provide. Let's just stick to the defaults here. So OK, we have a summary section, just summarizing what we're going to configure. Click OK. So as you notice, it's a number of steps that you need to go through using this user interface. As you grow more accustomed to the interface, or as you need to provide more resources, you will quickly revert to using command line interfaces for spinning up virtual machine. Just script and automate this entire process. So here we just get a final summary with the price indication, and then we can purchase. So actually provision our virtual machine. Okay. So as you'll see, our deployment is now being submitted to the Azure platform. It started. And what you'll notice, after a couple of minutes, our virtual machine will be up and running. Now, just for the sake of time here, I've already created such a virtual machine. So once your virtual machine has been created, you'll get kind of this interface where you'll see we have a Linux operating system. This is the name we've chosen. It's being located in Northern Europe, our data center. Of course, when we want to deploy our application, how do we get access to this virtual machine? Where is it? It's good it's sitting in Northern Europe, but how do I put my sources on it? So here you could see we have our public IP address. For a Linux virtual machine, we can actually set up just an SSH, a secure shell towards our virtual machine. So all of this still works as if this virtual machine would be running inside of your office or inside of a hoster's data center. So we could just take any SSH client. Here I'm using Bitwise, but you could use PuTTY or whatever you're used to. You just use your Linux command line. Just provide your host name or your IP address, your username and password, or SSH public key. And then we're going to log in. As you can see here, we're now logged into our Linux virtual machine, which is actually running in our Azure data center. But from the view of this, you wouldn't even notice. It looks like any virtual machine. So that's what we want to achieve kind of here with Azure, is that you shouldn't have to do a lot of things differently because things are running in Azure. Just do whatever you're used to. Use the same tools that you're used to for managing your infrastructure, for managing your virtual machines. So we could just look here what we have in here. And So here we have, I've already created here a web folder. And to get our files on there, so I've already copied kind of the application, all of the node modules have been installed on this virtual machine. Well, basically what you can do how to get your files on there, you could just open up an FTP session. Just using this, we can just FTP and put our files in here. So this is all kind of normal for getting your files in there. Just use FTP or SFTP or any other tools that you already know from connecting to virtual machines. So nothing's different because it's Azure. So this is what we've done. And what does this application do? It's basically just a simple chat server application. So if I would just do node chat server .js, it's going to start. And it's going to connect, allow you to connect over port 3000. So we can just go to our browser, HTTP, to the specific IP address, port 3000. And we should see our Node Chat app. So we have here, we can send chat messages. Hi there. I'm connected as Mike Gore. If there would be another, let's copy this one, let's see if we can add another user. So my core is now connected, and here in this session I'm Sydney Poitier. So now I could say hi Sydney, this is using, you can see our message arrives here from my core. This is using just WebSocket for sending messages. But as you could see here, our application, it's up and running in Azure. You can see the messages coming in our application. So you could say, my Gore said, hi Sydney. So really simple, nothing really different than what you would be using on premises. The sole difference is that it just takes a few minutes. And as you can see, we just got a notification that our deployment succeeded. And it didn't even take 5 minutes, I think. So our virtual machine, our Linux virtual machine, is up and running now in Azure. Just a matter of minutes, spin up a virtual machine and just continue to use the tools that you like, that you're used to for deploying your Node.js application, for working with your Node applications onto that Linux virtual machine. So on that virtual machine, you are basically the root user. You can do whatever you like on this virtual machine. Yeah. Okay. Maybe one thing to mention, so we have a number of base images, so empty virtual machine images. So we have the ones that come from third-party providers, such as, for example, Bitnami with the MeanStack or some, or maybe WordPress on them. You can upload your own images as well. So if you already have a pre-configured Linux image, you can just upload your VHD file and just spin it up in Azure. So it's really an open platform. Just if you have the VHD file, upload it and just spin it up, and we'll be running your own customized Linux virtual machine. Okay, now one final thing I want to mention here. So I've talked about these virtual image sizes, and so we've chosen one here. As you can see, I've chosen the standard A2 machine. When I created this virtual machine, it has two cores and 3.5 gigabytes of memory. Now, let's say I want a different virtual machine. What I can do here in the settings pane here, I can click on size, and this will allow me to kind of change the size of my virtual machine. So if I notice that, well, maybe a dual core machine is not sufficient for my web application, for my chat server, it's getting a lot of load, maybe I need additional cores for my machine. Let's say I need 4 cores. So a D3 machine, for example, and 14 gigs of RAM. Or 8 cores, 16 cores, we can go all the way up to 32 cores and half a terabyte of RAM if you want to. I can do so. Imagine having your own server sitting under your desk and you notice that you don't have enough resources. It's not that easy to kind of upgrade your machine in just a matter of minutes. And here we just pick the new virtual machine size. We can select it, and you'll notice we'll be resizing the virtual machine. So you will you will probably have a connection being dropped because we need to recommission your virtual machine. So it's going to be rebooted. But apart from that, in just 3, 4, 5 minutes, you have a new machine. You have the same virtual machine, but running on bigger hardware or smaller hardware as well. If you've chosen a virtual machine that was too big, you can scale it down as well. So all of those things really give you kind of the advantage of cloud computing, with still all of the things you knew from before. So with that, so you can see our connection is being dropped now because our virtual machine is being rebooted, and it will come up again with new specs. So let's switch back now to our presentation. So this is deploying to a virtual machine. So nothing really special apart from the speed with which you can do things. Now going one step further, as mentioned, with your virtual machine, you need to manage the entire virtual machine yourself. It's really, we manage the infrastructure. So we manage all of the hardware, the storage systems, the networking system. We make sure that your application, that your virtual machine is up and running. But you need to manage and nurture the internals of the virtual machine, which may take a lot of time. If you need to configure it, set it up, you need to configure your web server, configure load balancing, all of those things you need to do yourself. So that takes time, it takes effort, and it's effort that you need to continue over time. So we can take it one step further and look at what we call platform as a service. So there's a number of platform services which you can see here, and one of which is the app service. And those are basically kind of higher level application blocks that you can use. And in this specific case here for the app service, is basically an application block that allows you to host a web backend. And you could see it as a website as a service. So we manage all of the components that are needed for running a website, whether it's C# or ASP.NET or PHP or Node.js or Java. So we manage all of the underlying components, and the only thing that you need to manage as a developer is basically the application or the website code, and all the rest is being taken care of for you. And you have kind of similar services. So we have app service for hosting web applications or mobile backends. But we have similar services as well that exist for API management, for hosting third-party APIs, service bus for doing messaging, and so on and so on. And those data and analytics services are kind of along the same lines. Let's say you have a SQL database as a service. So you don't have to manage the actual database server, but you manage the internals, just the database and the tables and the data that you put in there. That's your ownership, basically. So looking a bit at Azure App Service, so it's really a way to easily build web applications or mobile applications, or more in a microservice approach, where you can create what we call API apps, which are kind of you could look at them as microservices, which are then grouped using what we call logic apps. So we create kind of a visual workflow, a visual process, which combine multiple of those API apps, of those like microservices or micro applications. So an easy way to kind of combine and create higher level solutions based on smaller applications. But specifically for here, we're going to look at web apps. So Azure web apps. So as mentioned, they give you a lot of flexibility and ease for deploying web applications, regardless of the language and the technology that are written in. So as you can see here, it's all about Node or Java, Python. It supports a lot of technologies. You have support for long-running tasks, so you can do background processing as well. So if you need to run cleanup jobs, for example, or if you have a site which allows people to upload images and you need to generate thumbnails, for example, you could offload that in an asynchronous process. So that could be run in what we call a web job. Yeah. And one of the things we'll see as well is the whole concept of integrating this into your continuous integration process and continuous deployment process. So we'll see a demo of that. And one of the nice things is, as mentioned, all of the things, all of the infrastructure that is sitting, that is basically all around basically the actual core of your development. So the infrastructure pieces like load balancing, like scaling up, scaling down, geographically, disaster recovery, all of those things are being taken care of for you. And you just focus on the development of your code. Let's dive again into a demo. So I'm switching back now. So let's first look at, and I'm going to close this off here. Let's look at how you create these Azure web apps. Yeah, so we click on New, and we get our list of services. And here inside of Web plus Mobile, you will find your web apps. Okay, so you can just create a simple standard empty web app, which is what is happening here, or you can, if we click on all, what we can do in this specific case, and what I've done for this demo, is that there's, let's look at here, we have a Node.js starter site. It's basically a very simple website that is using Node.js, and it's a web app. What we do is we just do create, and of course we'll need to provide some parameters for our web app, for our website to be hosted. The first one of which is the application name. So what are we going to call our web app? So let's say NT Node Starter Web. And you'll see this is kind of the prefix for the entire URL of your website. This is going to be the prefix, and it's going to be ended with azurewebsites.net. Note that this is just the starter name. You can have custom domain names attached to this, so you don't have to necessarily use this towards your public-facing customers. Again, we're going to we can put them in a resource group, which is kind of a logical container. And then again, we're going to choose where to deploy it. Here, we're going to deploy it to Northern Europe. I don't want to pin it here, and just create it. That's basically all that we need to specify for creating our web application. What this will do is it's going to create, and I'm going to switch just here for the sake of time. This takes like 1 or 2 minutes, even less than creating a virtual machine. Already have one. Let's take the other one. And let's take the very simple one for the first scenario. So what this creates is basically is some kind of web application environment. It has all the infrastructure that is needed for hosting your Node.js web application. Yeah. You don't have to care about the web server that is running your node. You don't have to care about the load balancing or the scalability and so on and so on. So here I'm located in Europe, Northern Europe again. And I have just a small machine, which is a single core machine that is available for hosting my my website. Yeah, you have kind of a hosting environment for you. Now there's a, you can see our URL. If I click on it, it should give us a probably a 404, because there's not really much. I don't have like a website in there yet. How do we get our code in here? So if we go to the properties of our web application, you can see, of course, our IP address, our outbound IP address. But you can also see here FTP hostname. So the nice thing with this is we can deploy our code, well, similar to what we did with our virtual machine. We can deploy our code using just FTP. Let's take here FileZilla, copy in the host name. We need to copy our username. Let's copy this. We need to provide a password, which I'll just type in. So you can specify your password. So you can specify your password as you like. A little bit lower here, we're in the publishing part. You can specify your deployment credentials. So what we have here is we have our local file system, but here on the right-hand side we are connected to our Azure web app. And what you see here is, let me increase this a bit. In the site folder we'll have the www root. And here you can see already some files which have been deployed. And one of the things we'll do is we're going to put some sample website code in there. I'm just going to navigate to it, and I'll show you the code in just a minute. Where is it? Oh, sorry. It's in C. MSDN. Hello node, and we have a very simple server.js file which we'll just transfer onto our machine, onto our web app, just to speak. What is in here? Well, you may have already guessed, it's the hello world of Node.js. It's just a simple creating the server and saying hello world application. Switching back and doing this, let's see if our application is up and running. So just deploying our server.js file, we can see that we get our hello world in there, just to prove that we're not messing around here. Hello channel 9. I'm just saving the file, terminating up on our server again. Let's just overwrite it. If we then refresh, we can see hello channel 9. So very easy, very similar to what we did with a virtual machine. You can use FTP for putting your code onto this Azure web app. But this is just a small kind of one way to do it. You don't want to go and FTP your code around. How can you integrate it in your continuous integration kind of pipeline? And for that, I'm just going to open a new one which I've prepared already. This is our Node Starter web application. Is we can integrate the whole deployment process into our continuous integration process. How does that work? So one of the things you could do with Azure Web Apps, and looking at our settings, inside of here, it takes just a second, let's scroll down. Inside of the publishing section here, we could say deployment source. So where do we want to deploy from? So we want to set up continuous deployment. Here we don't have any deployments being set up yet. I'm just going to disconnect. It seemed to have been connected to some source. I'm just going to disconnect so we can reconnect to a new one. Let's see if seems to be an issue refreshing. Okay, disconnected. Let's see if we can have our deployment source visible. We should be able to add one. This is to kind of a hiccup with the. Let me just quickly open that one again. To our settings. So while publishing opens up. Scroll down, deployment source. There we go, that's what we needed. If you don't have any deployment source configured yet, we can configure, we can choose a source where our source code is sitting, basically our source code repository. So we could use Visual Studio Team Services. You could even use OneDrive or Dropbox as your source control source. Haven't seen a lot of people using that as a professional source control system, but still you can. You could use GitHub or Bitbucket. But what we're going to do here is just going to use a local Git repository. Yeah. So what will happen is if we choose this, you will have sitting alongside your Azure web app, there will be a private repo hosted that will be linked to your Azure web app. Yeah. This private repo we're going to use to connect to from a local Git repository. So what we're going to do is going to take the node starter project, which you can see here. So let's quickly choose this one here, server. Server.js. It's a fairly simple Express app. Let me just quickly show you what it looks like. I'm just going to do node server.js. Launching it. It's listening on port 3000 on localhost. And that should be this one. Just refreshing this. There we go. So it's a fairly simple website, starter site. It's a home page, a chat page. You'll have an about page. So a number of pages just to demonstrate how to use Node in kind of an MVC manner. So we have our code here. Let's take this one. So what we're going to do is we're going to create a local Git repository for this code. How do we do this? You may know it already if you're familiar with Git. So let's do a git init. To initialize a new repository, I'm going to do git add of the local repo of all the files that are sitting here, and then we're going to commit locally. So let's call it the initial commit. There we go. So we've added all of the local files to our local Git repository. Now, how do we get it to connect to our remote repository that's sitting next to our Azure web app to have our continuous deployment on Azure? So for that, we switch back to our Azure web app. And in our settings, we can look at the properties. And what you see there is you'll see R, which we've used previously. Our FTP hostname and usernames. And here I've just skipped across it. So you have our FTP deployment username, FTP hostname, but you'll also see now the Git URL. So we get the URL of our Git repo, which I'm just going to copy now. I'm going to use here git add remote. Let's call it Azure because it's sitting on Azure. And it's going to be connected to this specific Git repo that we've got from Azure. That should be probably git remote add. I've been too quick. So now we've linked up our local repo with our remote repo. Now, how do we deploy? Well, it's just a matter of pushing our code. So we do git push Azure. So we're pushing to our Azure remote repo, and we're going to push the master branch. Oh, there we go. We need to enter our credentials. It should be. And oops, caps lock. So again, those will be your deployment credentials. There we go. So we're pushing all of our local changes into the remote repository. While this is happening, I'm going to switch here to again to our publishing. If we go to our deployment source, what you'll see is it's loading, and we have a commit coming in. It's using the same commit message that we used for our local repo. So right now it's going through the process of deploying our sources. So deployment successful, as we can see here. Initial commit, this one, as if the page refreshes, we should start to see that it has completed its deployment. There you go. So now it's, as you can see, it's active. So let's see if this works by browsing just to the URL of our application. And lo and behold, we have our node starter site sitting there, which previously gave us the 404. We have this one now up and running. So very easy. Now, how do we take this further? So we can see, we can just link up to a source control repository. So in this case, a local repo. Let's start making some changes to see kind of the nice things that you get with this. So let's change some code in our website, just change the hello from Azure. Let's take this, just save this. So you'll notice that we have one change. Let's put a commit message in here, say changed the title. Going to commit all changes, and we're going to publish it. So we're going to publish the master branch to Azure. There we go. And let's check again in our deployments and in Azure, in the Azure Management Portal. In our deployments, we should start to see a new commit coming in. If all works well. If we can refresh, let's refresh the page again. Let's switch back to our deployment source. We can see that we now have a new active deployment sitting here. We have our comment. If we refresh our website, we have our title, which has now changed from the previous one to Hello from Azure. The cool thing is, well, this is all nice. Let's say, well, we changed this title, but something went wrong. It was not really correct. What Azure Web Apps allows you to do, kind of click a previous one and say, well, I just want to redeploy the previous version. The new version that I have in production right now, it's there's still some errors in there. I want to redeploy the previous version. Asking you, are you really sure? Yes. And now it's going to redeploy our initial version that we had prior to deploying the specific version and the change title. So it was successful. As you can see, all of this, if we refresh again our page, we should see our title switch back to the previous title again. There you go. So as you can see, this kind of gives you the flexibility of having your continuous deployment. But if you notice that things still go wrong after testing, you could switch back and revert to previous versions if you want to. And there could be many versions here, so you can switch back to any version that you have in the list of deployments. So all very flexible and quite handy for you to use. Okay. So this is kind of the deployment process, the continuous integration process. But Azure Web Apps gives you even more flexibility and functionality there. in the whole deployment process. So one of the things you see here is what is called deployment slots. So in this scenario that we've just gone through, we're just deploying straight into production, which if you're really sure about what you're doing is might be good. However, sometimes you may want to be a bit more on the safe side and deploy first into a test environment. So what we provide with Azure Web Apps here is what we call deployment slots. And you could, for example, it's basically kind of environments that you create alongside your production website. So let's call it, for example, staging. Do you want to clone the configuration? Well, we could take it from the original one. Copy all of the configuration settings. Click OK. So while that is creating, should take just a few seconds. So you can create a number of these deployment slots, and then you could deploy using the same mechanism as we've seen before. So you could go in here, Node Starter Staging. It's a separate website, but it's still linked to the original one. And again, set up continuous deployment. So instead of deploying using a git push to your production site, you could do a git push to your staging site. Yeah. Have that happen automatically as code gets checked in. So your staging environment gets up to date with every single change. And the cool thing is, once you have that, is that you can see this button here, which is called swap. And this allows you, so let's say you've gone through sufficient testing, your application works in your staging environment, you now say, well, we're ready for going to production. What you can do then is you could say, I want to swap my staging environment, which is kind of the latest version now, which has been tested, and I want to deploy it to production. And you could see then, are there any changes? Well, we didn't deploy any changes into staging environment. But this will allow you to kind of quickly change your production environment with the version that is sitting in your staging environment. So again, really handy and making sure that you're really safe in your deployment, in your release management process, using either continuous deployment, so connecting your source control system with your Azure Web App, or adding some deployment slots. So if you want to have a staged approach for deploying to your production environment, you can do so, and you can add one to X number of deployment slots to your Azure Web App. Okay. Now, all of this is kind of handy for you as a developer. It's really intuitive. You develop your code, as we've seen. You just push it to your source control, and continuous deployment will make sure it lands in Azure without you having to know anything about infrastructure. Now, how does it work with scalability then? Similar to what we saw with virtual machines, you can do what we call scale up of our web app. Let's say we have a small instance sitting there for a web app. Well, you could do scale up and choose another instance size. So let's say if your website requires a lot more CPU, let's say 4 cores instead of a single core, and more RAM, we can just pick S3 or an S2. So right now we're in S1 standard. You could choose for four cores and 7 gigs of RAM. So scaling up or scaling down again is available at any time without noticing any downtime for your users. So your website remains live, so it doesn't go down while you're switching instances. So this is all being handled, taken care of by the cloud platform. But what is nicer as well, for web applications, you don't typically scale up, put a bigger machine, but you put multiple smaller machines next to each other. You create a web farm. And this is what we call scale out. And with Azure Web Apps, you can scale out as well. And this is just a matter of just clicking here the slider. You say instead of a single instance, give me two, or maybe give me five instances. What will happen is your codes will get distributed across these five instances without you having to do anything in addition. So you as a developer, you just do your Git push it to Azure, and Azure will make sure it's replicated across all of the instances that exist. Yeah. So this is just manual instances that you define, just say a single count, but you can also do it what we call auto-scaling. So based on, for example, CPU percentage, where you say if the CPU needs to balance between one and, let's say, maximum five instances. So it should be sitting between one and five, or it could be two and five as well. And we're going to check if our CPU goes beyond, let's say, 70%. So if CPU goes beyond 70%, add an instance. If it goes below 34%, this is the average CPU, just remove an instance. So your farm will scale up, will scale out, or scale in, depending on the load of your website. So as your site gets more popular, you'll add more computing resources. As demand lowers, maybe during the night, instances will be removed all automatically for you. So you don't have to sit there, watch what is the current CPU load, I'm going to add an instance. No, all of this will be done automatically for you. Okay. So these are kind of really, in a nutshell, kind of a number of key advantages that you get with Azure Web Apps as opposed to virtual machines. So this auto-scaling, this continuous deployment, continuous integration process, really handy while you just focus on your development. How can you get started with Azure? So we have a free trial, but if you are as a developer, you can sign up for Visual Studio Dev Essentials. So we'll give you free access to developer tools, but also you'll get a monthly credit for Azure. So just go to and check for Visual Studio Dev Essentials. So you get a whole lot of free stuff for you to do your development and use cloud resources just for free. A number of resources here. So we'll be sharing this on Channel 9. So the recording of the session will be on Channel 9, as well as the slides. So the Azure portal, as well as all documentation for Azure. If you don't want to sign up for either Dev Essentials or for an Azure subscription, you can also go to tryappservice.azure.com, and then you can just get a guest account for 24 hours without you having to provide any credit card details or anything. So you can just try out the service during a full day and see if it works for you. With that, just want to link you to the other upcoming webinars, JavaScript webinars. So next week we'll be talking about creating Office add-ins using web technology. And there's more coming, so just check out the link here, aka.ms/jswebinars. And if there's any more questions, either now or during the week to come, and the weeks to come, just post them on Twitter using AskMSDev. And with that, I want to thank you for attending this session, and hope to see you in a future session.